This is the Bloomberg Advantage with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio. Come on.
Well, that's certainly what the Fed has been doing for some time, an easy monetary policy. Let's talk a bit about Fed and interest rate policy. We've been talking about it because, of course, the Fed wrapping up its two-day meeting today. We'll get that interest rate decision at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, at 11 a.m. West Coast time. A view from Clear Harbor Asset Management's co-founder and CEO. He is Aaron Kennan. He's got over $650 million in assets under management at the firm. He's co-founder and chief executive officer. So, Aaron, Fed policy, let's just get it out there. What do you expect from the Fed today?
Well, I mean, I think the general consensus is that we'll obviously see the statement. It'll probably be somewhat unchanged. There may be a commentary about GDP growth coming in on the downside, but a lot of other economic data points certainly moving in the right direction. So they'll provide some forward guidance, and they'll do their sort of dot thing, and we'll take a look at the
dot future. Thing. You just threw out the dot plot. We spent a minute or so
yes.
talking about the dot plot
yes.
earlier.
I mean, it's becoming silly because, you know, they haven't moved, but we still want to know the slope of the rate hike path. You know, at the end of the day, I think we're looking at a Fed that's still, you know, run by the chairperson. She's very dovish. She sees the data that we see, and since her term began in February 14, she hasn't moved, and we haven't seen tightening for 9 years. We're not going to see it today, is my personal view, but it'll be a somewhat non-event when we see it perhaps as early as September.
What's led to that consolidation, maybe not of power, but of message? It seems like, you know, we are paying more attention to what she has to say and perhaps less attention to what other Fed presidents are. Is that the case, and why do you think that's happened?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, certainly the question around whether or not we should have a public Q&A after, you know, many of the meetings is sort of plays into your question, David. And that is that you have an important policymaker, but also a figurehead standing and responding and providing her thoughts on many issues pertaining to monetary policy and even the trajectory of economic data. And so I think a part of it is due to the emerging transparency of the Fed.
Is it too transparent? I feel like we know so much about various Fed members and FOMC members and how they think, and they're out there speaking, you know, a lot. Is it just too much? And does it kind of reduce how effective they can be?
Well, I mean, I certainly think transparency has a glass half full argument that is very relevant and glass half empty. And it's similar to Congress and putting cameras down the chambers of the U.S. Senate in 1986. I think that was a huge blunder. You couldn't, as policymakers, as legislators, you couldn't debate the real issues. You were looking up at the television camera.
You're worried too much about the voting public.
Well, that's right.
Seeing you.
Yeah, and you couldn't sort of compromise. You can't compromise today like you could back then. I think there's a similar concern at the Fed level, which is if you say too much, you're going to be put into a corner. And instead of keeping a lot of these conversations within the committee. Some of the sort of crafting of messaging come out both in the statement and the minutes, we're starting to see it in the Q&A. And I think there is a risk that the Fed can lose its legitimacy as a result of some of this.
What do you look for in that Q&A? It's funny, when I watch it, I'll admit that, you know, what you're waiting for here is for her maybe not to slip up, but to, you know, say something unexpected or to give a little more information than you might expect. Do you learn a lot from what she says in those Q&As? We talk about transparency, but I wonder how effective that transparency is for an investor like yourself.
Yeah, I mean, as an investor, and you know, we have to be curious, and so always sort of curious to understand how someone as intelligent as Chairperson Yellen and the rest of the FOMC thinks and weighs various issues. I mean, one question is Greece, will geopolitics and the economic uncertainty within the Eurozone be a point of mention today? Will they mention it in the statement? Could it come out in the Q&A? How is that weighing on their thinking? The evolution of wage inflation, which is something relatively new, how is this sort of interplaying? The idea that the employment market is now significantly tighter. We saw the JOLTS data recently and over the last several months suggesting that job openings are at a very high level relative to the last decade. And so, you know, how are they balancing that with with their dual mandate. And so that's always interesting to sort of game theory all this.
How much should they be looking beyond specific U.S. issues, or have, you know, coming off the crisis, we've learned everything is connected. But I'm just curious, an issue like Greece, is Madame Lagarde right in kind of lecturing the U.S. and saying, you know, hold off and don't do anything till next year?
Well, I mean, based on their mandate, they really shouldn't care much about what happens to Greece.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, and then there's reality.
That's
as you
right,
know,
and there's reality. They're looking at the short terms of the market as well, and Greece certainly can impact that.
Should it, though? Should it, though?
Absolutely not. No, I mean, I think if you look at the Fed, their dual mandate, of course, is employment and inflation, and we should hear a lot about that and the data that sort of interplays into that, which, of course, is wage inflation, productivity, and the like. But I don't think you'll see much in the statement on Greece today, certainly, and that I don't want to make sure that that's not conveyed here in my comments. But, no, today will be a non-event. I think, to some extent, the Fed and its future tightening, whether that's September or December or perhaps early next year, I think the good news is analysts, investors, capital markets participants are really welcoming the day when we can sort of look at fundamental data for what it is and move off the sort of zero bound and think about the future trajectory of earnings as it pertains to companies. And we're still sort of in this sort of pivotal moment here where we're just sort of symbolically waiting for the Fed to say, okay, we're now going to move. So
I'm going to make a bet. I'm going to bet that the first question isn't going to be about Greece, but the second one is. And I think that, you know, what Madame Lagarde said, you know, is she, if you're looking like this as a game of chess, you know, this is something that I think Chair Yellen has to respond to. And I agree. I don't think that it'll be in the statement necessarily, but I think it'll be a question, one of the top questions.
Yeah. She was down in D.C. That was, you know, somewhat controversial that, you know, she really was putting pressure on the United States Fed.
We blew out our regular programming because it just blew our minds that she was so outspoken. This wasn't something she said in a meeting and somebody caught wind of it. She said it publicly.
Yeah, yeah. And you wonder if that was sort of very premeditated on her part or if it was somehow handed to her and she realized only after the fact that it was pointed.
She's a smart woman. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but certainly Greece is weighing on Europe and in European equities and the bond market, and I'm certainly happy to discuss that as well.
Hey, Aaron, before we move on to some other things and move on from Fed talk, do you think, though, the Fed should wait, could wait, will wait till 2016?
So I think the Fed should move incrementally starting today, but that will not happen. So what I think doesn't matter. What I suspect will happen is...
Well, we care.
What I suspect will happen is that the Fed may move in September, and if not, we'll probably see something within the next 6 months. And it'll be very incremental, very gradual, and interest rates will stay historically relatively low. And that'll generally prove relatively positive for real assets and equities, generally speaking. If you had inflation take off and the Fed had to start to sort of chase that rabbit, that would be a different scenario. But I think that's not anticipated at this point. Inflation's being pushed higher, at least core inflation, by rent and while we think the housing market is showing some very positive signs of growth, particularly the permits number yesterday, which is a nice leading indicator, I don't think that inflation is certainly running out of control at this point. So my expectation is very, very tight slope to rate tightening over the next few years.
What else are you looking at here, Aaron, when you look at the state of the U.S. economy? Of course, that's what the Fed is spending its time poring over as well. You know, what are the brightest lights for you?
Brightest lights? Well, I mean, the employment picture is very bright, and it's bright now also at the sort of young adult level, 24 to 35. You're seeing household formation there for the first time in many years, David, and that has huge positive consequences for consumption, particularly in technology goods and non-discretionary as well as discretionary items. But we're also seeing this play through in the housing market, and as I mentioned, the permits data. But just home sales generally have been moving in a very positive direction. So, you know, we're certainly seeing some positive signs there. But what's good for the economy is not always good for the underlying equity markets. And I think, you know, we're at a point where some of the wage inflation of late, if continued, could start to cap margins in particular sectors of the economy.
But how quickly does that kick in, Aaron? Because to some extent, if people are, you know, the economy is doing better, the Fed can feel confident to raise rates because the economy is doing better. People are making more money. They can spend more.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, I think that that speaks to in the midst of these positive trends, some components of the economy will perform reasonably well, and others may find that their margins are finally capped due to the positive trends at the wage level. And so, you know, certainly a trend that we're watching. We think the consumer discretionary sector still has winds blowing towards their back because of these trends in the sort of younger adult segment of the economy, and overall wage inflation should be very positive for consumption there.
Got 30 seconds left for you, Aaron. Got a favorite sector or industry within the market that you think investors should maybe take a quick look at?
Well, I mean, if you believe that bonds have risen and are poised in the United States to trend back down to, let's say, 2.25 in 10 years, I think the utility space is interesting, particularly the natural gas distribution utilities and the water utilities. I think energy credit is far less interesting right now. I think energy equities have their stocks fully priced with the expectation of oil trading at $90. I don't really want to buy that as an option right now. So lots more to discuss, but those are a couple thoughts.
Well, definitely come back. Aaron Kennan, thank you so much. Co-founder, Chief Executive Officer at Clear Harbor Asset Management, on the phone in New York, right here on Bloomberg Radio.